I'm very touched when we're singing the praise about Jesus. And when I think about that praise song, I remember the message this morning about the unexpected mercy. You find out in life, we get used to the law of cause and effect. Those who do it wrong will be punished. Those who do good are rewarded. We're familiar with justice, but we rarely expect mercy. Mercy is not based on merit or worthiness, but it is based on compassion. You and I are going to read together in 2 Samuel chapter 9. When you read this chapter, David gives us a beautiful picture of grace. And background a little bit. After establishing his throne, instead of seeking revenge on the house of Saul, as were common in ancient time, especially ancient Near East, he asked a very, very surprised question. Is there still anyone left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Verse 1. And this question opened the story of unexpected mercy. So let's pray. Our Father, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, I pray the Holy Spirit continue to use my word, my thinking, my thought, to share the message based on the Bible and the Bible only. I pray the Holy Spirit in the heart of the people in this room so they can hear the message and they understand it and they apply for their own life. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You and I sometimes, I don't know about you, but when I was young, my credit cards on way, whatever, the maximum $500 at that time, it always hit like about $490. When I get older, you know, they increase the credit, I always hit whatever the limit allowable. But think about it. You have a huge debt for the bank. Knowing that, like, you know, it may take, if you pay minimum, it may take 20 years to pay off that credit card debt. But suddenly you receive the letter like your debts have been completely canceled. And of course, your first reaction, kind of surprise. No way. But again, when you hear the word mercy, mercy always comes with the surprise or the amusement. So to all of us, did the unexpected mercy come? And what does it reveal about God's heart toward us? And the story talking about the person named Mephibosheth. This is the man in state of helplessness. And the Bible talking about he the son of Jonathan, the grandson of King Saul. The Bible describes him very, very like painful or pitiful condition. In verse 3, he was lame in both feet. He not only physical disability, but he also lived in a very dangerous political atmosphere at that time. In the ancient times, the descendant of the former king often to be eliminated, to be killed, to prevent the rebellions. Mephibosheth lived in the Bible talking about in the land they call it Lo Deba, the place who named like no pasture, no life. This means the very worst condition of religion. You can read this passage and understand it. So what exactly what the Bible talking about? If you imagine yourself in Mephibosheth, he lived in fear. He lived in shame. He lived in hopelessness. And probably a lot of people around us, maybe including you, you live in that state. And I hope the message today, you understand the grace of God or the grace of Christ so you can overcome. And some of you or even your parents, you know, we have been lived years in the refugee camp. The condition we live in the refugee camp for a couple of years, some of your parents or grandparents live in a Cambodia camp or Thailand camp like 4 or 5 years before they get accepted to, migrate or immigrant to America. So they're accustomed with poverty, sickness, the fear of authority. So when the U.S. or the European country come to the camp, it's just like summoned to the king's palace. And the first response is not hope, but terror. Kind of confused, didn't know what the future would hold. Or continue to stay in the camp in that condition, or get out to the new land, new life. So if you imagine with me, Mephibosheth, he had nothing to offer to the king. He had no strength. He physically disabled. He had no status. He the children of the former king family, and the ancient time will be killed. So he had nothing to offer. He had no achievement. He lived in like the lowest condition of the land. Today we're like in the worst poverty of the region. He only had what? He had helplessness. And here the king summoned him to come. But it was precise in this helplessness, the King David's mercy was fully revealed. You had to be in that condition so you can understand the mercy of God. Okay? So to point number two, kindness is not based on worthiness, or grace is not based on the worthiness. Verse 6 and 8. So when the Bible talking about when Mephibosheth came before the king, he bowed low and said, "Here is your servant." He expect what when he come to the king? If you are from the former king or the own government or the kingdom, former kingdom, he expected death. So his expectation is the worst of the worst. He will be killed. That's his expectation. But David said, based on the Bible, "Do not fear, for I surely show you kindness." Okay? When you come to the king, you expect to be killed, death. And suddenly the king telling you, "I will show you the kindness." It's the movement of unexpected mercy. You can see the state of mind of the person, suddenly like a 180-degree change. The reason he get the unexpected mercy, not because of his goodness, but because Jonathan's his father. Jonathan is a very, very good friend of David, who helped David during the tough time, help him to escape from the death. So grace came because of covenant relationship, not because of personal merit. Some of you probably still go to school in the university, and just like I, when I go to Texas A&M, study engineer, And of course, at that time, not much money. And whatever record I have is just the student ID, which said and complete high school in Vietnam. So that's the only paper I have. Okay? But I get accepted to the university not because I have record. I only have the student ID. Okay, not my own academic record, but because at that time A&M have scholarship, and they said they accept the student who have high school diploma, and if I can prove it, okay, and I have high school diploma, student ID, not even a diploma, and somehow, by grace of God, somebody said they want to establish one scholarship, full scholarship for the person who, I don't understand the reason behind it. And when I apply with a copy of the student ID, I get accepted to A&M, and I get full scholarship. That's what I call not because of my achievement, with the grace of God, okay, and very, very unexpected. So in life, sometimes something happened to you to teach you the lesson, to remind us the mercy of God. So David continued, I will restore to you on the land of Saul, your father, not only his life spared, but his position will restore. That's what the Bible is talking about. So he replied, what is your servant that you should look upon the dead dog such as I? So this is the voice of someone who knows he is unworthy. And that is the proper posture to receive the grace. What I try to communicate to you in life, a lot of unexpected things. So if you close to God, if you pray to Him, okay, and if you understand you're unworthy and the mercy of God always on the person who humble and unworthy, okay? And up to this point, I cannot explain how in the world I get full scholarship at Texas A&M to study engineer. I cannot explain it. But one thing I know for sure is an unexpected mercy from God for the person unworthy just like I. So David, mercy, but not stop at forgiveness, but restoration. And it even go further. Okay, and verse 9, verse 7, 11, or 13, talking about the mercy of the gospel. David said, if you have opened the Bible and follow with me in verse 7, 11, or 13, David said, you shall eat at my table always, like one of the king's son. They were not the social assistant. It was adoption into a royal family. So each one of you in this room, okay, when you believe Jesus Christ as your Lord, your Savior, you are adopted in the royal family. So your position no longer just like a slave of sin, but you become a prince, a princess of the royal family. You become ambassador of God in the kingdom of God. So understand and remember your change in position. So Mephibosheth, he moved from what? From a figurative, okay? From the people who run away to the one who is welcome. Just like you and I, we're from slave in sin. Now we become the children of God. We're from the children of the devil or whatever, the wicked thing, now we become the children of God. Okay? So Mephibosheth, he from the outcast, the runaway, now he become a family of member. Okay? And he lived runaway in Lo Debar. Now he moved to the palace. And that's the change. You find out, I found this, the story, an orphan living in the institution who is adopted by a wealthy family. So this person from the orphan now not only given the home, but give the name, and also sit at the table, and also the future. And this is the true story. If you run the Google talking about the colonel of the Air Force, okay, in 1972, the colonel is the there's a huge attack going on in South Vietnam. And this little girl, only 4 months old, her mom died on that highway, okay? And she very much like lay on top of her mom, just crying. And one of the soldiers picked her up and put her in the orphanage. And one day, a couple from America stopped by this orphanage and adopted her. Okay, bring her back to America when she's about 5 or 6 months old. She got the name, she got good education, and she joined the Air Force, and she's now a colonel of the Air Force. Okay? And the recent visit to Vietnam a couple months ago, late last year, she also part of the team to come to Vietnam for whatever negotiation. So when I read the story, I remember it's just like adopted person by the wealthy family. Get the new name, the home, the sit at the table, and the future. And we cannot imagine. The same thing, each one of you sitting in this room, you have a new name. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you become the prince, the princess, become ambassador. You have a new name. God gives you that new name to represent the royal family. Okay? You get the home. You sit at the table of God, with God. And you have the future in imagination. So remember that because your position has changed. And imagine with me when Mephibosheth, he sit at the table, okay, imagine with me. And you stand here and you look at him, sit at the table of the king. What exactly do you see? What exactly do you see? He sit down at the king table, okay? The table would cover his crippled feet. Nobody see him as a crippled person. Nobody can see him as physical disability, because when he sit at the table, the king, the table cover his crippled feet. When he sit at the king table, nobody saw his brokenness. Nobody can see his past. The runaway, the one who be killed, the hopelessness person. Nobody can see that. Okay? But they see what? We see a beloved son of God's family. And that's what the people see. And that's the picture of grace. Okay? Grace, believe it or not, remember. Okay? Because this section, a lot of people misunderstand. Grace does not erase the past. Okay? But grace covers it with love, hope from God. Your mistake in the past is still there. But with God, you have been covered. But you may have to couple years before the people can forgive, forget. Remember the story of Paul. Paul, before he became the disciple of Christ, before he became a missionary, he had education. He very much like go around and catch on the Christians and kill them. Okay? And when Christ changed him, what did he do? He cannot come to the Christian at that time and say, I'm changed. I'm a good person. Okay? When he come to the Christian, the church at that time, the people run away. Because they still remember just yesterday or a couple of days ago or a couple of months ago, he's a wicked person. He's the one who persecuted the Christian. Okay? So grace does not erase his past, but cover him with love of Jesus Christ. But what exactly he did? What exactly did he do? He traveled to Tarsus. Okay? He quiet for a couple years. Okay, go back and read the book of Acts. Okay? And people begin to see his change. It takes time for the people recognize he's a changed person. What is the next thing? Barnabas, like the pastor of Antioch Church, come to Tarsus, invite him to Antioch. And imagine with me, the Bible didn't say this, but become my mind only as a question. So probably Barnabas says, I'm guaranteed for this guy, Paul, he's a changed person. And if you read the book of Acts, the name of Barnabas always go before Paul. So it means Barnabas, he guaranteed the change of Paul. And it took a couple of years. And until the second missionary trip, now you begin to see Paul's name first and everybody else's name later. So when you read the Bible, pay attention on the order of the name. Okay? So what I'm communicating to you, grace does not erase the past. But you can use the lesson from the Bible, how to overcome and gain the trust of the people. From the cross, you see, by grace of God, he forgave the person, but the sin of the past is still there. And the horizontal line may take a couple years. Okay? Our church, we have the ministry, prison ministry. And I call the people the forgotten people. But why we do it? A lot of people, probably until 2059, that we had the permission to get our under control or monitor. But if they understand the grace of God, if they understand God's love, or they forgive them, they're the changed person, and the time in the prison is the time of change. And hopefully, after they get out, 5 or 6 years later, you know, when the monitor stop because they have to go wearing the whatever the brace, mother brace for a couple of years, and hopefully by the grace of God they will be a changed person and they can fit back into society. Okay, and that's what we do. And the same thing. Next Tuesday we have the worship in the nursing home. I'm also classify those people, the forgotten people. So they need to understand the mercy of God, and expected mercy, so they can be able to forgive the children, because the children put them in the nursing home and they forgot about them. And when we come and worship, they share, they miss the children, but in the sense of miss the children, but also the sense of not forgive. Okay? And they need to take time to heal in that relationship. So what exactly this story telling us today? Okay, a couple of things we can do, because we like Mephibosheth, we crippled in sin, we living in fear, we unworthy enter the presence of the king. But because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we are forgiven, we are restored, and we were invited to sit at the table of the king of grace. So we are not saved because we are good, but because Jesus fulfilled the covenant for us. So that reason why we can confidently say, just like John 3:16, whoever believes in Christ, in him, have everlasting life. Okay? The same thing, practical application, I have about four things, recommendation. Okay, you can take it, you can think about it, you can pray it, but if you can apply, that would be great. Always live with grace, with gratitude, not pride. By human nature, we basically, deep down, we are a prideful person. But the Bible this morning reminding us, live with gratitude. Because grace leaves no room for arrogant pridefulness. Grace. And secondly, extend mercy to others. If you have been forgiven, and of course, we have opportunity to forgive somebody else. Okay, last Thursday, I'm a counsel, a person. And this person has severe relationship with the mom. And the hatred, you can sense it in there. Okay, and this person very much still young and run away from home. But by mercy of God, she came to the church, just knock on the door and ask for advice by the mercy of God. I don't know, maybe drive the car up and down, saw the church. But there's a lot of church along this Derry Ashford. But why this person knock on the Vietnamese church and meet the Vietnamese pastor? And he might speak English, not that smoothly. Okay. And of course, I go through the process. And because I prepare this sermon, so I use some word from this sermon, reminding her the mercy of God. Okay. And show mercy to others. And also reminding her, she only had one mom. Like it or not, that person to her mom. Okay? She can change name. She can move to another town. But it's still one mom. Love her or hate her, that's her choice. But if she says she received the mercy of God, received the forgiveness from God, and then she has ability to pray to him so she can forgive her mom. Okay? Don't expect her mom to forgive her. But to be lighten the burden, she needs to do it. And then we pray together. I don't ask her to go back and live with her mom. No. I expect her joyfully, peacefully, because of forgiveness. Okay? I don't know what happened. But hopefully she talked to her mom, and then suddenly I received a phone call from her mom, and probably the mom would knock on the door and ask for what I was supposed to do, when suddenly my children called me or my girl called me. Okay? It might happen. I don't know. Okay? Lives as a member of the king family, because your position changed. You're no longer the same. You're the children of God, the children of King of all King. So live like the members of the king family, no longer in shame or feel inferior to anyone. Okay? Just imagine with me, the ambassador of the United States of America, okay, represent United States of America for one country, whatever the country. How exactly this ambassador present him or herself as ambassador for that nation? Okay? Not inferiority, not inferior, but represent a nation. The same thing, you represent the kingdom of God. And the Bible said you are ambassador of that kingdom. So you cannot live in shame or feel inferior to against anyone. And lastly, invite others to the table of grace. Mercy is not meant to keep to ourselves. That mercy needs to be communicated or transmitted to others. Okay? Conclusion. Mephibosheth did not go looking for David, but David went looking for him. We did not go and looking for God, but God came looking for us. Unexpected mercy is not based on merit, but on covenant love from God. Okay, let us stand up so we can pray, and then we can have the communion service, okay? Our Heavenly Father, the loving Father, we thank you for the unexpected mercy you have given us in Jesus Christ. When we were weak, helpless, and unworthy, you call our names, help us live as those who are forgiven. You restored us, and we sit at the table of eternal King, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.